Eden Abergill, Eden of Ashdod, you only did what any young recruit might do, what I might have done myself, a little scared, a little stoned. On your own strength, Eden, as if each beautiful bullet you packed were a pill, designer hybrid of Percocet and blow, to anneal you against all that's frail and slow, that's bound beyond help. And so these Facebook pics and that bit of bad press. Don't worry, Eden, the news, save on Al Jazeera and in the tabloids of Tehran, has already moved on. You don't get it. You protest. Your little shoot killed no one. So then, why are the great Jews, the poets and performers, the scientists, inventors, philosophers, reformers, those truest people of the book, all weeping quietly in their tombs? Paul Celan, Hannah Arendt, Almond Bitter Mandelstam, Marx and Einstein, all now sad insomniacs of the hinterlife, tallowing hours away in the earth to understand this Facebook, as well as the smirk this now world wears, failed future that won't leave them to sleep, not even the adamant suicides, Levy, Benjamin, Celan, especially not the suicides. And you yourself sit baffled in Ashdod, Eden, wondering why no one did quite catch the joke. Meantime, the army's marketing folk Photoshop your face to a blur, but too late, you're famous, your poses pathogenic, spreading via tweets and texts, and sickening. Sickening no one at all, we've all gone immune, all but the hopeful dead, though of course they're dead and can't die again of our indignities. Eden, Eden of Ash, your grandparents were the Nazi war. Eden of Ashdod, Der Tod is still in the story. The frontier between millennia didn't keep it out. The human future didn't phase it out. Now it's posted, grinning, on your wall. Let every wall wail. I want to read one more new one, same story. That's the fossil record of drafts, not the full poem. This one follows from that one. It's called Inspired by a Line by Paul Celan. And again, as it's like every poem's got this italicized line underneath. This is the line by Paul Celan from which the poem grew. It's Betrink dich und nenn sie Paris. Let's get drunk and call it Paris. Each day I wake feeling I've already failed. Tonight, let's get wrecked and call it Venice. A woman I loved once lied she was healed, and for a night and waking we were. I was born with a mortgage, now show me the house, the home, slip me the dose that'll make me care less. I wake each day feeling I've already torn what I meant to rethread. Did anything seem in Eden, or was it all its own is? There was a woman once so enlisted in life, one of passion's true recruits. Love, I said, I am so bad at loving. And the usual biz ensued. Scenes, loss, and its isotopic slow fade, never done. On the deathbed of the skeptic, where he slept each night of his dying life, he said, it was hard having so little skin to skin with the world, but look on my works. Venice is sinking now, and it might be the case it was never the key at all. Said a small voice in the cirrus of a dream, love is its own abode. Not sure what it meant, though I think I knew once. There is some cold road that you must renounce. Okay, so next a poem that, again, it follows from that one in the sense that this one, too, is riffing. It starts with a line or lines, in this case actually a poem by another poet, and I'm responding to it. This one is called Some Other Just Ones, and it's a kind of response to a poem by Jorge Luis Borges, the Argentinian poet and fiction writer and essayist. His poem is called El Justo, the Just, and the first and final lines you're going to hear in this poem are translated from the Spanish of his poem. I read the poem and I thought everybody could write their own version of El Justo, their own, it's a list poem. I mean, poets aren't supposed to write list poems, but sometimes they work. And Borges's work beautifully. list of people that you think are, well, I won't tell you what the list is about, but you'll see. But a friend of mine who teaches at York decided she's going to assign this to her creative writing students every year. They all have to write their own list poem of people who are saving the world. So, and every poem is totally different, and there's never the same person is never itemized. Every poem is totally different, every line. Some other just ones, a footnote to Borges. The printer who sets this page with skill, though he may not admire it. Singers of solo expertise who defer and find harmonies instead. Anyone whose skeleton is susceptible to music. She who, having loved a book or record, instantly passes it on. Whose heart lilts at a span of vacant highway, the fervent surge of acceleration, psalm of the tires. By the way, that word lilts has to go. It's, I've decided it's very bad. So if this poem's ever reprinted, I'm working on, if anyone's got a suggestion, it'd be great. Adults content to let children bury them in sand or leaves. Those for whom sustaining hatred is a difficulty. Surprised by tenderness on meeting at a reunion, the persecutors of their youth. Likely to forget debts owed them, but never a debt they owe. Apt to read Plutarch or Thich Nhat Hanh with the urgency of one reading the morning news. Frightened ones who fight to keep fear from keeping them from life. The barber who, no matter how long the line, will not rush the masterful shave or cut. The small-scale makers of precious obscurios, pomegranate spoons, conductors' batons, harpsichord tuning hammers, War of 1812 reenactors' ramrods, hand cranks for hurdy-gurdies. The grade school that renewed the brownfields back of the A&P and made them ample, miraculous May and June. The street gang that cast no comment as they thin out to let Bob, the barking man, squawk past them on the sidewalk. The two African medical students in Belgrade, 1983, who, seeing a traveler lost and broke, took him in and fed him rice and beans cooked over a camp stove in their cubicle of a room, and let him sleep there while one of them studied all night at the desk between the beds with the lamp swung low. Those who sit on front porches, not in fenced privacy, in the erotic inaugural summer night steam, who redeem from neglect a gorgeous, long-orphaned word, who treat dogs with a sincere and comical diplomacy, attempt to craft a decent wine in a desperate climate, clip the chain of consequence by letting others have the last word, master the banjo, are operatically loud in love. These people, without knowing it, are saving the world. The book of poems that came out before this was called The Address Book. That came out about 6 years ago. And then with this book, did the same thing. Both books ended with a section of approximations, I call them, which are either faithful or more often free, very free translations of poems I've loved. It's something I absolutely love doing. I'd translate more often if I could, if I had the time, if I could afford the time to do it. Because every translation, in a sense, is a mini apprenticeship, a mini master class with a great writer. You go inside the poem, you read it 20, 30 times, you work on 10, 15 drafts of the translation. So by the end of, and you check out all the etymologies for almost every word except for the simple words. And by the end, you feel like you know the poem almost as well as the poet knew it, and you learned a lot about how the poem's put together, why it works. So I translated several. I'm gonna read two very short ones. This is Love Sonnet 17, a poem, a few of you probably read this in other translations. It's Pablo Neruda. It's a sonnet, and I've slant rhymed it instead of perfect rhyming it, since English is such a rhyme poor language, unlike Greek or Spanish or French. So really to level the playing field, and so you're not straining to get the rhyme, I think you need to use slant rhyme. Love Sonnet 17. I love you not as if you were topaz, a saline rose, quiverful of carnations strewing flame. I love you in secrecy, as one loves certain unclear things between shadow and the soul. No bloom on the plant I love as I love you, which retains, interred in itself, the light of its lost blossoms, Well, in my flesh, the dense ascending fragrance earth generates now darkly resides by reason of your love. I love you without knowing how, when, where from. I love you straight on, no complication or pride. Love you like this because I've never known another way to love. You and I have no more meaning, so close that your hand on my body is my own. So close now, your eyelids close with my sleeping. The other thing on the facing page, two very short tankas, Japanese poems, by Onakatomi no Yoshinobu, written over 1,000 years ago. I just wanted to read them because I live in Japan for a year, and because of what's happening in Japan, I'm thinking about Japan a lot and remembering my time there. So the first one, number one. The lone doe that lives among the mountains of pine, where no leaves fall, can know the autumn has come by her own cry alone. Two. The guard fires that burn at the imperial gate, embering all day, and then at nightfall flaring. Such is the love that glows in me. I think I'll stop there. Thank you very much for listening.